All right. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to pray for folks tonight because I believe 2013 is not an unlucky year. I don't believe it is at all. I believe it's a blessed year. Say, I'm blessed. And it is a year of new assignments, open doors, promotions, and increase. It's a year of new assignments, open doors, promotions, and increase. Amen? But we need to understand about grace, God's grace, in order to walk through what the Lord's provided. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Everybody say, grow in grace. Now, how do we grow in grace? Well, you know, you grow in grace by understanding more about it. Get your mind renewed to what you already have, what's already been deposited in your spirit. When you're born again, your spirit man got saved, but your mind didn't automatically get saved. Yeah? Is that true? And that's why, that's a lot of the reason we're here on Sunday night, Wednesday nights, is to receive the Word, cause our souls to get in line with our spirits. And remember, God created us in His image and His likeness, and He said, have dominion. And to the degree that our souls are in His likeness or like our spirits, then that degree we'll walk in dominion. So look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the what? Manifold grace of God. Everybody say manifold grace. Now, I was teaching. I'm direct the school of ministry now at Karis Bible College in Colorado Springs, and I was teaching a group of second year students, and I was actually teaching on another subject, and a student came up to me afterwards, and he said, "I understand something about grace now through your teaching that I've never understood before," and I wasn't teaching on grace. And so I'm interested, you know. Okay, what's the Holy Spirit showing him? He said, well, my understanding of grace really had to do with, you know, I'm forgiven, God loves me. It doesn't matter if I do right or not. You know, God's accepted me. If I've accepted Him, He's already accepted me. And I love Him. I know I'm going to heaven. And God just kind of cuts me slack. Yeah? And I mean that is an aspect of grace, isn't it? That I mean, you look, nothing you can do can cause God to love you more or less. Is that not true? But you know, things that you do can affect your love for God and your love for others. And he said, what I began to see in this class, and I wasn't even teaching David on grace. He said, what I began to see in this class is that there's another side to grace. That it's not just about what He did for me on my behalf, irrespective of anything I do. It's important to Him what He wants to do through me. Amen? And so I just started thinking about that. When he was talking, I said, well, I know the Holy Spirit's speaking to him, but then took me to the Scripture, the manifold grace of God. And so this word manifold, it means many-sided, in varied forms, multidimensional. And I'm not going to go over this morning's message other than just to, you know, kind of hit some highlights here that, you know, even a sports team, you don't want to be one-dimensional, right? And grace is not just one-dimensional. So I started thinking about that. I'm not thinking about it in terms of levels, you know, there's more one level more important, but I'm thinking about it, there's just more aspects to grace than what we've talked about. And then, you know, we're in kind of in the Colorado Springs area where we're at is kind of the mecca of grace, just like Tulsa was the mecca of faith, you know. And so, man, there's all kinds of garbage. otherwise known as trash, in the teaching in the name of grace. And it's not grace at all. It's some of it's just outright universalism that God, you know, because God loves us, it doesn't matter what we do. We've had to deal with a lot of things along those lines. So I just started thinking, you know, give me some understanding about these dimensions of grace. And as I share them with you, they're really things that we all know. Most of us, if we've been around and you've been here at Calvary Cathedral International, you've been taught these things, but the way that God showed them to me, it just puts them into categories that helps you to see this is another dimension of grace. So we talked about these dimensions this morning. I call it the goodness of God grace. You could call it the good God grace. You could call it redemption grace. Whatever you know, it's the fact that God's good. Everybody say God good, the devil bad. If you get that straight, it straightens your theology out. Okay, God's a good God. You remember Oral Roberts used to say that? He was one of the first ones that said God's a good God. He's not mad at us. Thank God, he's not mad at us. He poured his wrath out on Jesus on our behalf, as Mark shared tonight. Aren't you glad? Man, that's good news. God's not mad at us. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And he's got good things for me. Surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. There's no boogeymen following me around. Yeah? And I mean goodness and mercy. Everybody say goodness and mercy. So the goodness of God, grace, is his unconditional love toward us. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So it's just all these things about how he's loved us, how he loved us, how he forgave us, how all that he's given to us freely. That's awesome, isn't it? But here's the deal. Most of the understanding, most of the grace messages that we hear are revolved around this dimension right here. And if you want to identify where they're at in the Bible, I mean, it's all throughout the Bible, but in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is this dimension of grace. But how many of you know Ephesians doesn't stop with chapter 3? Chapter 4 says, therefore, because of this, all this that God's done, walk worthy of the Lord. So now we know Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 is another dimension of grace. And they don't talk. Fact of the matter is, when you start talking about this next dimension of grace, number 2, which I call discipleship grace, I mean, oh, man, those are fighting words for people that, you know, the only thing they want to hear is how good God is and what he's done for them, and they don't have to do anything. Works is out the door. If you say anything about works, you're a law. And then those grace people that are received all this goodness of God, they pull out their grace guns. That's law. That's law. You mean we got to work? You got to, you know, serve God? That's law. Oh, man. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, these people that have this great revelation of the goodness of God, and they're not acting so good to you. What happened to you? I thought God was good to you. And now you're shooting everybody full of holes with your grace gun, saying, that's law, that's law. Remember back in the faith movement, and we should still be in the faith movement, but you know, but when, you know, somebody would say something negative, that's a negative confession. Shoot them full of holes, man. Shoot them dead because they made a negative confession. Well, now it's no different. Now, look, guys, that can't be grace. Your revelation of God's goodness can't translate into God's badness. or into badness because he doesn't have any badness. You know what I mean? Or into you know, even if they are wrong. Yeah. I mean, we need to be gracious. If we're full of grace, we ought to be gracious. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. And so, anyway. So I'll throw that in. So this discipleship grace, 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Yet I labored, but I labored. Now see, that's a curse word to some people with grace. This, in fact, I've heard this. The book of James. It wasn't even written to Christians according to some grace people. Because it has faith without works is dead. Has an evil word in their works. But see, what they're not understanding is they've got a revelation of one dimension of grace. But here's another dimension. The Apostle Paul, who taught us about grace, also said, by his grace I labor more than you all. I don't know. Do you have any of these crazy people that over in the UK that teach this stuff? They're all over, man. And listen, and here's what it is. It's the fact that grace is a wonderful aspect of it. Really, it is Jesus, because he was full of grace and truth. But look, let us be full of grace and realize it's manifold. It's multidimensional. Okay? And another dimension right here is that, you know, hey, by the grace of God, I labor. So I'm not working to get God's approval anymore. I'm not doing all that. But because I'm saved, because of his love for me, now, man, I go out and touch other people and reach other people. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you'll just have to get the rest of the message this morning. I don't want to repeat all of that. But this, look, this is grace too. In fact, I've heard this garbage. That grace is just all about Jesus serving us, not us serving him. Yeah, because of they use the illustration, you know, how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Yeah, but he did, but then he said, this is an example for you to do. So you serve others. But then, you know, what are you going to do with Hebrews 12:28 that says if you want to have an unshakable kingdom in your life, then you let us have grace to serve. See, it's another level, it's another dimension, not level, it's just another dimension of grace. Amen? So then we stopped with this one, number three this morning, assignment grace. But to each one of us, Ephesians 4:7, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, man, I've tried and tried and tried. I wanted to do what Dave does. Okay, really. I mean, that was my aspiration, was to sing. And I have a decent voice, but I can't do what he does. He's got a range that's just out of this world. And so I just decided, you know, look, if God called me to do something, he's going to gift me to do it. And so I can't do everything, but I can, in terms of calling and assignment, but there are some things that God's assigned to me. Now, I met a young man back here. Is it Dylan? Is that your name, Dylan? Dylan, I just want you to know, okay, that it's not an accident that you're here tonight, okay, that God's got a calling on your life and an assignment that is going to influence people for good. And things that you think are, and it's kind of an out-of-the-box kind of a thing. It's not the norm. You're not a kind of a person that you can put in a box. And the Lord just wants you to know that that's okay. He wants you to know the things you're thinking about are not weird to him, though it may be weird to others. And God is going to use you in an out-of-the-box kind of a way that's an assignment from him that's going to touch and reach people that other people can't reach. And I just want you to know the Lord likes you, and he's going to be speaking to you over these next season of weeks and months and talking to you about what His plan is for your life. Can I just pray for you? Father, y'all lift your hands out toward Dylan there. Father, we just pray for Dylan, and not interested in embarrassing him tonight, Father, but I just want to bless him and declare, Lord, that you're going to use him mightily. Father, that you appreciate him. And Father, you've got a call on his life and an assignment that is going to reach people that others can't reach. And Father, I thank you for speaking through him, giving him creative ideas, innovative ideas that will change the world in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. 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 So each of us has an assignment. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. But when God does put something in your heart, you know, my youngest son, Jeremiah, is a worship leader, and he's also a graphics designer, website designer, and all that. But when he was young, he watched Pure Country with George Strait. He doesn't play that kind of music now, but he watched that how many times on one weekend? 15 times. He finished watching that, Dave, and he said, Dad, I'm going to do that one day. And he started learning guitar, and he got fairly good at a guitar, but his voice at about 13 wasn't where it needed to be. Everybody made fun of him. I mean, they would, because it wasn't there. It wasn't right where it needed. And he started writing these songs. And he came to me in tears one day, 13, 14 years old. He said, Dad, God's given me all these songs. He's told me I'm going to do this. And he said, man, everybody's telling me this and that, and that I can't sing and all this stuff. And I said, son, if God put that in your heart, he'll give you the voice to go along with it. Amen? And I'm telling you, he's got a good voice now. It developed. He became, in fact, Dan with PS40, Dan and them, they used to go down here to the Christian place, and they would that's where Jeremiah and his group were ministered. They had an awesome Christian band. He wrote a lot of songs and things, and it's just like what God put in Dave's heart to play the guitar. Don't tell me if God called you to do that. I'm telling you, your fingers aren't too fat. I mean, he did pretty good tonight, didn't he? Yeah. Don't tell me. You can't do that. And see, each of us has an assignment grace from God, but also what we have is feelings of inadequacy. And we start comparing ourselves among ourselves. We start comparing ourselves with someone else. Yeah? Okay? When you do that, here's what happens. When you start comparing yourself with someone else, it's impossible for you to compare yourself to someone else without thinking lower or more highly of yourself than you are. And you might as well just go out in the parking lot here, wherever you park, and let all the air out of the tires when you start comparing yourself. Now, you can learn from other people, all right? But when you start comparing yourself, what happens is you either devalue yourself or you lift yourself up, and you don't need to do that. Are you with me? Listen, you have an assignment from God. With that assignment comes gifts. Amen? And God, if God put it in your heart, what you've got to do is step into it this year. There's some people, some of you need to leave the shore of where you are. Some of you need to step out of the boat. Some of you, the reason why you've not gotten into the assignment that God has for you is because, you know, you're just locked into some kind of financial security, and, you know, but you're not fulfilled where you are. And you need to, I don't mean just, you know, bail out and leave your job, but I mean, if God's put something in your heart, then start doing some things on the side, developing that. Step out from where you are. You've got to step into this new grace assignment that he has for you. There's fulfillment there. There's destiny there. There's changed lives there. You need to move into it. Amen. Well, just get the CD from this morning and And we can go over that. I mean, you can go over that and let God speak to you. And these different dimensions of, we could spend 2 or 3 services with each one of these, because His grace is so awesome, isn't it? So the fourth type of grace I want to call covering grace. Everybody say covering grace. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another. What a thought. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know the scripture that says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy and grace to help in time of need. When he said in Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God in Christ forgave you. What he's saying there is, look, I want you to be merciful and gracious just like I am to other people. And here's what I mean by that. Some things, guys, that in terms of weakness in people's lives, mistakes that they make, things, imperfections, some of it just needs to be covered, not confronted. I think Mark mentioned it tonight about, you know, sometimes we major on the minors. And, you know, with some things it's that thing where in understanding the goodness of God grace, we understand God cuts us slack sometimes, doesn't He? Man, aren't you thankful that you know, you can take a mulligan every once in a while. You can have a do-over. Praise God. And so, you know, with people, we ought to be the same way. Instead of being so demanding. Now, I've played golf with some guys that, I mean, one guy was trying out for a senior pro. And man, he wasn't fun to play golf with. You know, if I'm behind a tree, I like to take out a little foot wedge. I don't want to hit that ball into a tree. I'm not talking about cheating. Well, I mean, you know, they. I mean, you take, you know, you it's okay. You can move it a club length, you know, and anyway, but this guy, I mean, you couldn't even if you breathed wrong over your ball. I mean, if the wind blew and a blade move that ball. I mean, it was a stroke. So, man, this guy's no fun. I don't want to play. And you know what? Some of us are like that. We're so hard on ourselves, and then we're so hard on others. And what I call this covering grace, it just means choose to major on the majors with people and not the minors. Don't strain at gnats and swallow camels. Yeah. Man, some weaknesses and issues in friends and family and leaders and other things, they need to be covered. They don't need to be confronted. Now, remember the story of Noah. Do you guys remember? Noah had a long, long building program. You remember him? What was it, 100 years or something like that? I forget how many. I know it was 100 anyway. Maybe it was more. I mean, it was a long, and man, people rejected his message. And then he was on this ark for a year. With all those animals and all that stuff, man, that was a bad, I mean, that was tough. Yeah? So he gets off, and what happens? He's got a weakness, right? After a 100-year building program and a year on the ark with animals, what happens to him? What does he do? He went and got drunk. Now, I'm not advocating that, okay? I'm not. I'm not saying, you know... But look, okay, he messed up, all right? But what happened, what did his one son do? His one son, I think it was, what was it, Shem? No, it wasn't Shem, it was Ham. That's why Ham is Ham. And he exposed his father's weakness. And what did the other two sons do? They came in backwards and what? Covered it. You see, it's a picture, guys, of what we're to do with one another today, even leaders. How many of you know leaders aren't perfect? How many of you know leaders have weaknesses? They might, you know, if you have a large church, they might forget your name sometime, or they might say it wrong, or, you know, they might forget your birthday, or you know, they might, you might be close to somebody and they didn't invite you to their party. God forbid. That'd be the end of the world, wouldn't it? Well, they just didn't want to think about me. Well, you know, I mean, are you the only thing going today? Huh? And then people get all upset and they'll cover it. How many of you want to be covered for your mistakes and your, you know, idiosyncrasies and weaknesses and stuff like that? Listen, covering grace needs to happen a lot in the body of Christ. We want mercy, don't we? Well, then let's give it. Let's just, don't look, guys, you don't need, I'm not going to walk around with a chip on my shoulder and a victim and, you know, all that. I receive covering grace. You know what? I received it from the Father, so I'm going to give it. Yeah? Man, that's awesome, guys. Winston Churchill's mother said this: treat your friends like you do your best pictures. Keep them in the best light. Is that awesome? That's good. Keep them in the best light. What do you mean? Always be saying good things, building one another up, cut others some slack. The essence of friendship and leadership is knowing what to overlook and what to confront. And there are times we need to confront, but look, guys, so many times with our children, with people that we're discipling, you know, people, you know, they, you know, we live in a difficult world. People make mistakes, and so let's just cut them some slack. Yeah? Is that okay? And as God has blessed us, let's bless others. Let's not just hold, I mean, let's not hold everybody to this huge standard, all right? And just bless people, release people. I mean, be a kind of a person that people don't have to walk on eggshells with you, that they can let their hair down around you. Of course, you know, me, I don't have to let much hair down anymore, but maybe I can grow some down here, Dave. Then number five is leadership grace. Remember that grace is multidimensional, okay? So here's another aspect of God's grace, or facet of His grace, is leadership grace. And look at Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart" what? "That it may impart grace to the hearers." This is what I call mentoring grace, fathering grace, where you're discipling others. And what it does, this grace, it says that you may speak these things that will impart grace. This envisions and empowers people that you have influence with. This is leadership grace, where you're helping people to see God's perspective of them the way He sees them, and you're envisioning people and you're empowering people. It's what the angel did with Gideon. Remember, he's in hiding, and the angel came and said, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." Remember that? This is what you and I are called to do. Now, do you remember in the parable where it says the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field, and he went and sold everything so he could buy the field to get the treasure? Okay, I've heard it preached and taught that was really like us. When we saw the treasure in Jesus, we went and sold all and came and, you know, purchased Jesus. Well, there might be some truth to that, but the greatest application is not that. It's the other way around, and that is that the Father saw the treasure in us, in the field, in this field. He saw the treasure in the field, and He went through His Son and paid the price for the whole field to get to mine out the treasure. Now, if you and I, in this leadership grace, How many of you want to function in leadership grace? If you and I are going to function like the Lord does, then you and I have to realize that our number one job is to mine the new creation potential out of people. That treasure, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. How many of you know that's in the Bible? But if you want to realize that in people through your ministry, you also have to realize what comes before verse 6:17 in 2 Corinthians 5 is verse what? 16. And if you're going to realize, if you're going to help mine out the new creation potential in people, you have to apply verse 16 before you'll realize verse 17. And verse 16 says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh." And is that what it says? And that comes before verse 17 that talks about the new creation that people can become. So here's what it is. You and I must, if our ministries are going to help people realize their new creation potential, then we've got to stop identifying people after their flesh. Amen. Remember, God saw the treasure in the field and bought the whole field, flesh, dirt, and all. And so who are you and I to get stuck at people's dirt? No. There are times in leadership and in relationship that some things can't be covered. They must be confronted. But it's the way you confront it determines whether it's grace or whether it's law. Look, another way to say this is this. The difference between grace and law or legalism has very little to do with what part of the Bible you preach out of, Old Testament or New. It has everything to do with what part of man you speak to. The new creation man, the new man on the inside that's been born again, or the flesh. Because I can speak a New Testament principle to Dave's flesh, and that'll come across as law. I can speak a verse from Proverbs to his spirit man and say, listen, the word says this, Dave, you're my friend. What happened, what you did was wrong. You're better than that. And when I say you're better than that, what am I doing? I'm appealing to his new man on the inside. Now, I can confront him that way in love, and I don't leave him condemned. I'm not beating him up with the Bible. I'm just saying, listen, man, okay? Jesus loves you, he's forgiven you, but he's also empowered you, and you've got the ability on the inside of you to do what he said. Amen. And I'm encouraging you to be who you are. Let God arise in you and every enemy be scattered. Amen. Now see, that leaves you with hope. That builds you up. That's leadership grace. I'm imparting grace to him, the power to become, because I'm not looking at his flesh. Now, I might have to confront something because he yielded to his flesh, but I'm telling him, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Dave, you are this man. And I start telling him what the word says. Tell him, you know, and so what? That doesn't leave him condemned. That doesn't leave him without hope. That doesn't leave him under the law. That leaves him, hey, yeah, wait a minute. Oh, praise God. That's right. All I did was yield to the flesh, but that's not who I am. Yeah. And that's awesome, guys. And you know what with our children? Oh, man. How many of you have children? Man, how many of you have children still at home? Oh, listen to me. Where are you at? All you that have still have children at home, stand up. All you that still, parents that have children still at home. Listen to me. Listen, guys. Okay. We've got to stop knowing them after the flesh. We've got to stop identifying them after their mistakes, after their you've known them now how long? Okay? That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. You know, they're each of their flesh has something, has a bent to it. All right? Well, did your flesh have a certain bent? A certain way? Okay. So you, what you've got to do, yeah, you can correct the behavior, but you say, what you did was wrong, but wait a minute, you're better than that. And you in your own mind, if you're going to be a good leader, you have to let God wash you and stop seeing them after the flesh. Now, I'm praying over you right now, and I'm speaking over you, leadership grace. Impart, Father, to these parents the grace to see their children through your eyes, to see their new creation potential, to mine out the potential, Father, of who they really, who their children really are in you. Lord, give them that grace and help them to bite their tongue whenever they're tempted to speak in, at their flesh. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I have leadership grace to impart grace to my children, to those I'm influencing. You know what that means? To impart grace to them means you're giving them power to become. You're enabling them. You're helping them see that. Man, when my son came home that day, I mean, he was literally in tears. Dad, God gave me all these songs. What am I going to do? Everybody's saying this and that. I said, son, one day they're going to be standing in line wanting your autograph. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, what has God put in your heart? What has God put in your heart? You can do that. You can be that. Don't let other people stop you. And then, but the other side of it is this. Let's you and I step into this leadership grace where that's what we do for others. We empower them. We envision them. We help them to see what God sees about them. Man, do you have any friends like that? Any leaders like that? Man, is that encouraging or what? Aren't you? But do you have anybody that gets stuck at your flesh too? I mean, man, you don't like to be around those guys very much, do you? No. Hallelujah. Then finally, this dimension of grace, it's real simple. You know this, but it's giving and receiving grace. Giving and receiving. Everybody say giving and receiving. Now, I'm not telling you this to try to just encourage you to give more. What I'm sharing this with you so that you understand what you're giving and and how important your receiving is, because we're about to pray for you in a couple of minutes here, but however long I talk, all right, or finish talking. We're going to pray for you. The staff is going to pray for you, all right, especially over this area of grace. We're going to pray for you for grace, but especially this grace of increase of giving and receiving, okay? The reason why this is so important is because this, more as much as anything else, models the Father. And if you're small in your soul, if you're like this with your money, it doesn't represent the Father. And here's the other thing it does: it blocks off what God wants to do in and through you. Now, I'm not doing this. I specifically asked Charlie if you were going to receive an offering from me tonight. And by the way, thank you for your love for us and sowing in us. But I asked him, I don't want to do an offering right here. Okay, because you guys are givers. But here's the thing. What I want you to do is receive this grace. I want you to step into it. Some people are just doing it out of obligation or obedience, and that's good. But I want you to step into another grace. And that is, I'm a giver and I'm a receiver. And you're willing to receive. There are times when God just wants to bless you, and He just wants to bless you. Yeah? And I'm telling you, increase is coming to your house if you'll step into this grace. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency, Now, I've shared this before, but that means enough. Everybody say enough. All sufficiency in all things, that you may have an abundance for every good work. So abundance would be extra, right? You have grace. Say, I have grace for always to have enough and extra. And see, that's what we've got to walk in, guys. Now, some people, because of whatever happened in your life, I mean, I was raised in a poor family, and so I was bound by a spirit of poverty that said there wasn't going to be enough. But God had to break me out of that and see that there's more than enough. I step into this grace I have this understanding that with God I'm going to always have enough and extra. That doesn't mean there's not ever any challenges, but even when there's a challenge, you can't keep me from giving. When there's a challenge, I'm going to find something to give. And you know what? I'm also receiving. Yeah? And I mean, it happens all the time. I'm receiving favor. I'm receiving promotions. My wife and I are just walking in the favor of God right now. It's awesome. It's just really awesome. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 8, and I'm done. But at verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see to it, and I just add to it because I understand what see to it means. See that you abound in this grace also. When he said this grace also, he's amplifying what we've been talking about, that there's another side of grace. This is just one of this grace, means it's another aspect of the manifold grace of God. And he said, listen, you abound in all these other things, but see to it that this grace is something you abound in also. What grace? Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And tonight, as we pray over you, I'm telling you, here's what God's going to do in 2013. So, and here's how he's going to do it. He's going to do it because he's already spoken that over you. It's his will for your life. It's already been provided in Christ. And your response to it, you're just stepping into it. You're saying, I'm going to be the recipient of the full manifold grace of God. And that is that everything I need, I'm not just going to see and hear what God's doing with other people. I'm going to be one of those that walks in this realm of giving and receiving, where there's a flow and it never stops. It never stops. I never stop giving and I never stop receiving. And it doesn't matter what, irrespective of what the economy is doing. I'm in another realm. I'm in a grace realm. I'm in this realm where I'm receiving and I'm giving. And I'm receiving and I'm giving. I'm receiving and I'm giving more. I'm receiving more and I'm giving more. And nothing can stop me because His grace has provided it. I'm stepping into it in 2013. I'm not going to hear about it anymore. I'm not going to just hear testimonies. I'm going to be the testimony. My life is going to be built on His grace. And I'm not just going to be a one-dimensional grace person. My life, Lord, I'm a candidate. See to it that you abound in this grace also. And I'm stepping in 2013. And you know, whatever we do, whatever God's spoken to you, the first fruits, that's just kind of the first thing. You're saying, all right, Lord, this is grace. This isn't, you know, me just kind of, all right, by faith I'm doing this. No, I'm walking in this grace. And I'm living there. That's who I am. It's not what I'm trying to be. Man, I'm telling you guys, this is awesome. I don't know what God's talking to you about, but I'm seeing big things for Calvary Cathedral International. When I'm saying Calvary Cathedral International, I'm not just talking about the church corporate. I'm talking about you. You are the church. You are the one recipient of His grace. And you're going to come short in no good thing, because the grace of God abounds in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, I even approach this verse like that. When He says, see to it that you abound in this grace also, this dimension of grace. All right, Lord. When I see a verse like that, all right, that's mine. I'm walking in that. I'm receiving that. It's giving and receiving, giving and receiving. It's not just giving, is it? Giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving. Hallelujah. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Father, we thank You. We worship You. We bless You. Hallelujah. Father, I see You. I see what You see, Lord. Lord, there is a treasure. Father, there's a treasure in Your people. Hallelujah. I'm just going to speak out what I'm hearing. There are multimillionaires in this house. Multimillionaires. There are businesses that are in you to be birthed. That's going to fund the kingdom. God's speaking to some of you. There are businesses in you. There are ministries in you that are going to reach people you haven't reached. There are some of you that are in the entertainment field and media that you're going to influence people in ways that have not yet been influenced for the gospel. In theater and media and television and radio and the internet, there are ideas God's giving you to influence, to advance His kingdom in ways that haven't been done yet. There are inventions in some of you that haven't been invented yet. There are ideas on the inside of you. There are open doors and relationships that haven't come together that God's bringing you together with. Pastor Bob Nichols says, wise is the man that understands the combinations at work. And there are relationship combinations and connections that is going to be the launch for you and your ministry or your business, and is also going to be a support to that other person. I'm telling you, increase is coming to your house, and Jesus is going to be lifted high. I'm speaking what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing someone is going to step into a new business in the aviation field. And God's going to send a multitude millions of dollars and lots of money and resources and ideas in the aviation field. And it's going to break open new ways to do aviation. God's giving you those ideas. And I'm telling you, all kinds of things are being birthed right here in this house by His grace. Because we're not going to limit Him anymore, are we? Amen. I want the staff to come and that are here. I want you to come and help me to pray. Janice, you come and help me. Staff, you guys come and just let's kind of spread out a bit, okay? Spread out this way and this way. Okay. And, you know, we just want to release the manifold grace of God to you. And 2013 is going to be awesome for you. For you, say for me. If you'll step into this grace and understand it, I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. So, if you would like for us to lay hands on you, and we may, listen, we may have a prophetic word to say over you, or we may not. That's not the big deal, is it? Maybe we could, maybe y'all could step up on the first step there. What we're going to do is we're going to speak grace over you and increase over you. Amen? And all you, and what you're going to do is receive it. And then what you're going to do more than that is you're going to spend time with God and in His Word and let Him expand this to you. And would you just say, Lord, by Your grace, I'm walking in all Your grace in 2013. I'm responding. Amen? Praise God. So we want to pray for you. So if you just come, we're going to do that. And is there any instruction, Charlie, that you want to give on how we do this? All right. Praise God. If y'all can maybe just kind of line up along here, and then is that how we want to do it? Just not don't get behind. Is that right? Okay. Praise God. Well, we'll pray. And now if somebody's not behind you, don't fall out. You have grace to stand. Say I have grace to stand. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. Thank you for grace.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans never to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.